Good evening, everyone. This is the, as you saw, this is the last time we'll be meeting at this venue. What will be next week? I don't know. I guess those in my shul will find out, and those who are not will, I don't know, will not. I don't know. Let's begin. We'll return to the Parsha and also Inyana Diyuma. We have, for many of us, we've returned to shul this week for the first time, myself included. I calculated that I had not davened with a minyan for 82 days until yesterday afternoon, and it was, Baruch Hashem, a wonderful return. And at the same time, it's also Parshas Nasa, which speaks about Birchas Kohanim, and speaks about the blessing of the Kohanim that for Sephardim is recited every day in Chutz Laretz, for Ashkenazim, we only on Yantif, and unless in Eretz Yisrael. At the same time, for many of us who have not been davening with a minyan, there's a particular part of Chazaras Hashatz that we have missed, and that is in Chutz Laretz, when we do not have Kohanim, when we have Kohanim, we don't call them up, but even in Eretz Yisrael, there are no Kohanim, and that is the section of Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Barchenu Barbracha Mishulashas. This insertion that is put in the Brach of Sim Shalom to take the place of Birchas Kohanim. And since we're back to Shul, and it's good to be mechazik ourselves to strengthen and to remind ourselves in our own davening. So let's take a look at this paragraph, what its role is, what we're trying to accomplish, and what we can do in order to appreciate this particular part of our Shemoneh Esrei that for many of us we have not come in contact with for a number of weeks or months. The source of reciting this paragraph by the Chazan is the Seder of Rav Amram Gon, the Seder of Rav Amram Gon, one of the first Sederim that we have. And he notes that there is, when there are no Kohanim in Shul, then the Sheach Tzibur should recite the paragraph of Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, Barchenu Barbracha Mishulashas. I'll just note, if you have a Seder in front of you, this will probably make a lot more sense because we're going to look at the complications of the paragraph in a few minutes. But and this is later noted in the Seder of Rav Sadra Gon. It's brought by the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Tes Vav, the Tur, and it's cited by the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Chav Zayin and Siv Beis. The Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha says that Tosus and Brachos Taf Lamedald understands that in the days of Chazal, the Minog did not yet exist. That's why there's no mention. In the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Mishnah, there was no concept of having this insertion during Shemoneh Esrei. The Hagos Maimoni on the Rambam cites the Maharam Rothenberg, who says that this tefillah was established in the Doros HaAchrona, meaning in the generation slightly before him, in the 1300s or the 1200s. We don't know why it was established. The Sefer HaManig says that there was a machlokas between Anshe Mizrach, the Jews of the East, and Anshe Ma'ariv, the Jews of the West. And the Anshe Ma'ariv said no psukim to replace Birchas Kohanim. The Anshe Mizrach had the Shliach Tzibur reciting psukim of Birchas Kohanim. And he writes that the meaning of Galus is like the Anshe Mizrach, the people of the East. And that we replace Birchas Kohanim with psukim when there are no Kohanim. And this is the source. This is the source. No late, no earlier than the Gaonim to make this insertion in our Shemoneh Esrei. When do we or do we do not say this? So the Hagos Maimoni on the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah says that Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Barchenu Barbracha Mishulashas is only said at a time when if the Kohanim would be present, then they would have done the Siyas Kapayim. For example, Shacharis, Musaf, Mincha Natinus Sibur. However, at a regular Mincha, we don't recite this insertion because we wouldn't have regular Nesias Kapayim from the Kohanim. And this is what the Rama cites the Halacha. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph cites the Avudraham. The Avudraham says that an individual davening alone does not recite Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, as we have been practicing all this time, even if it is a tefillah where there could have been Nesias Kapayim. And the Ramah notes a fascinating minhag that there was a custom, in fact, for the individual davening alone to recite Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu in their Shemoneh Esrei in Sim Shalom. But the Ramah says, I think that's a wrong minhag, and the Magen Avraham cites the Maharil and the Levush, who says that if a yachid, an individual davening alone, does in fact say this, he does not have to go back, and other people should not make a big deal about it if they find out that's what he's done. The reason is because some poskim say that it is allowed, and therefore it is not a hefsek, it's not a break in your davening. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph discusses whether this is said in a base avel, a house of mourning. He, Mishnah Berurah, understands that this is not said in a base avel, and he says that the avel and Tisha B'Av are connected to one another. Whatever we find by Tisha B'Av, we find by an avelis, in avelis during Shiva. The Tanya Rabasi explains that just like we don't say Barchenu Barbacha Meshulashas at Shachras on Tisha B'Av, because the bracha is only said when we're experiencing Simcha, and in Tisha B'Av we're not happy, so too it should not be recited in a Beis Avel as well. And this is the opinion of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yaakov Emden and his Siddur, saying that we don't recite Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu in a house of mourning. Comes the Dagel Omer Vava, the Nodeb Yehuda, and the Eliyah Rabbah, and some in Tafkuf and in Tessin Hilchas Tisha B'Av, and they argue with that the Ramah in the Halachos of Birchas Kohanim says that an Avel during Yud Beis Chodesh, during the 12 months, doesn't do Nesias Kapayim. He does not go up to the Duchen during his year of Avelis. If we extend the logic of what the Tanya said, then any time an Avel davens for the Amud during Yud Beis Chodesh, he would never say, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, because, well, it's the same. Whatever we find by an Avel, then we shouldn't find, that the logic should be the same by Nesias Kapayim, then you shouldn't say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. In addition, this is not actual Nesias Kapayim. It's only a bakasha, it's a request in Sim Shalom for the blessings that the Kohanim would normally give us. So why shouldn't it be said? It's crazy to think that an Avel who davens for the Amud is not going to say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu during Yud Beis Chodesh. We never heard such a thing. The Ben Ish Chaim, Parshas Tetzav, the Kaf HaChaim say that Svardim, for this reason, do recite Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu in a Beis Avel. Comes the Tshuva Me'ava, the Talmud of the Nodes of Yehuda, and he responds, and he says that an Avel davens in Shul after Shiva. The Halacha is that he can be Shoel B'Shalom Achim. You're allowed to say hello, and he's allowed to say hello to you during that time. So it must be that he has a certain level of simcha, and therefore he can say, v'simlecha shalom, that you should have shalom. One shouldn't make a strict comparison, says the Tshuva Me'ava, between Birchas Kohanim, which requires a high level of simcha, and Barchenu Barbracha Meshulashes, which requires a lower level of simcha. And therefore, the minhag is for Ashkenazim that we do not say Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu in a base avel. Okay, so we've discussed the what and now the when. Let's talk about the positioning of the tzibur. The Me'iri in Maseches Sota and the Gemara in Megillah say that the minhag is for the congregation to stand when the Shliach Tzibur is saying Birchas Kohanim. However, the Tzitz Eliezer points out in Chelek Yedalad that there's no source for standing during Birchas Kohanim of the Shliach Tzibur, and that one can surely rely on the Magen Avraham and the Zohar, who say to sit for the Tzvila, and this is what most people do. We sit, if you're sitting for a Chazar Sashatz, we do not stand. The Yafa Lalev says that the Anshe Maisa, the very special people, will turn towards the Shliach Tzibur when he says, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, Barchenu Barbracha Meshulashes, and this is cited by the Kaf HaChaim, but other Sfarim say that there's no such minhag as well. So you don't have to stand, and you can stay where you are. Let's turn now to the Nusach. If you have a sitter in front of you, what we're about to say will make a lot more sense. Let's begin. Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Hashem Barchenu Barbracha Meshulashes Batorah Haksuba Al-Dei Moshe Avdecha. Now, depending on the sitter that you are looking at, the comma may be in two different places. Does the comma go after Barchenu Barbracha Meshulashes, Hashem should bless us with this three-part bracha, comma, and then continues, Batorah Haksuba Al-Dei Moshe Avdecha, that is in the Torah, written by Moshe, your servant? Or does the comma go after Barchenu Babracha Meshulashes Batorah, bless us with the blessing that is tri-part in your Torah, and then continue, Haksuva de Moshe Avdecha, meaning that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, at the end of the day, that comma makes a big difference. If you have two siddurim in front of you, you'll probably find that there is an argument between the two different siddurim. So what are we supposed to do? What are we saying? Are we saying that the bracha was put together by Moshe Rabbeinu, or are we saying that the Torah was put together by Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Shlach HaKadosh in Maseches Shabbos cites the Siddur of Rav Hertz Schatz, who's one of the earliest Siddurim we have as well, who explained that the Nusach should be Babracha Meshulashes Batorah, the bracha that is tri-part that is in the Torah. The reason is that if there are psukim in the Torah without a targum, without an Aramaic translation, so the halach is that when doing Shnai Mikra, you should recite the pasuk three times. The psukim of Birchas Kohanim, if you look in the Chumash, do not have a targum. They are simply Hebrew repeated. And therefore, it should be read three times. So writes the Shla brilliantly, that's why it's called Bracha HaMeshulashes Batorah. It's the bracha that is repeated three times when learning Torah, because you have to repeat it three times when learning Torah, because there's no Aramaic translation. That approach to say bracha meshuleshes b'Torah is the opinion of Rav Yehuda ibn Yakar, one of the earliest commentaries on the Torah, on the Siddur, the Sefer HaManhig, and the Rav Avadji Yosef in the Abiya Omer in Chelet Ches. In the Sefer Lakar HaKamach HaKadosh, sort of Katz writes that in Hungary, he heard the Shliach Tzibur pause after Bracha Meshulashes and then say Batorah Aksuva. And he felt that that was incorrect because Aksuva goes on the Bracha, not the Torah. So that's approach number one. However, the Tshuvas Ish Matzliach, one of the great Svardi Gedolim, writes in Chelek Alvin Simon Chaf, and listen to what he says. He feels that their pause should actually be at Barchenu Babracha Meshulashes. Hashem, bless us in the tripart blessing, and then continue, Batorah Ksuva Adei Moshe, in the Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And he explains that in Hebrew, Meshulash can have two meanings. Something that is Meshulash, three, can have two meanings. Either something has three parts, or it can mean that something is repeated three times. When the word Meshulash means that it is repeated three times, it is always followed by a beis. It is Meshulash Beth, three, repeated three times in something. For example, we find this expression often in Chazal. This comment, this idea, this fundamental principle is Kasuv Batorah, written in the Torah, Shanoi B'Neviim, repeated for a second time in Neviim, and a Meshulash B'Ksuvim, and the third time B'Ksuvim, in Ksuvim. In our case, we want to convey that the bracha has three parts. We don't want to convey the idea that the bracha is repeated three times. We want to convey that the bracha has three parts. If we connect the word hamashulash, hamashulashas, to batorah, then it will mean that the bracha repeats itself three times in the Torah. But that's not true. That's not our intention. We really want to say that it's a tripart bracha. We don't want to say it's mishuleshes batorah. The rest of the sentence is conveying that the Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now that, and therefore, says the Ish Matzliach, it should be Barchein Rabracha HaMishuleshes. Breath, Haksuva, Betorah Haksuva Ide Moshe, in the Torah that was written by Moshe. This is the opinion of Rav Henkin in the Geruas Eliyahu, and Rav Shechter brings Rabbi Salveitchik and Nefesh HaRav, who also felt that the pause should go after Babracha Meshuleshes, for the same reasons brought by the Ish Matzliach, that it's Meshuleshes Batorah seems to imply it's repeated three times. And he also notes that in the Otzer HaTfilos, it brings the possible Nusach of Haksuva Batorah instead of Batorah Haksuva. And even though that's not our Nusach, it does reflect the sentiment that those two words, Batorah Haksuva, are separate from the word Meshuleshes. And in fact, Rabbi Salveitchik suggested that it should be Shebatorah Haksuva, so the sentiment would be clear. And therefore, we would suggest that perhaps it is more grammatically correct that the pause should be Barchenu Barbracha HaMishuleshes, and then Batorah Ksuva Lidei Moshe. Okay. Then it continues, Ha'amura Mipi Aaron Uvanav. Why do we say that it's said by Aaron and his sons? Why don't we just say Ha'amura Batorah? Why do I have to go back to Aaron HaKohen? Why can't I just say Birchas Kohanim appears in the Torah? So Ratzvi Pesach Frank, in the Har Tzvi on the Torah, on Parshish Shmini, suggests that Aaron, in fact, originated the bracha of Birchas Kohanim on his own, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to Aaron's decision, and he incorporated Aaron's personal bracha of what we call Birchas Kohanim, and he made it part of the Torah. And therefore it is Mipi Aaron, a fantastic, fantastic Chiddush, but it fits into the words of the Tefillah over here. And then it concludes, Kohanim Am Kedoshecha Ka'amor. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Ches notes that the words Kohanim are not being qualified with Am Kedoshecha. Meaning, we're not saying the Kohanim means the servants of Am Kedoshecha, Kohanim of the Jewish people. No. The Kohanim do not serve the Jewish people. The Gemara in Kedushin says that the Kohanim are Shluchei Derachmana. They are the messengers of Hashem, not Shluchei Didan. They don't work for us, they work for God. Meaning, A Kohen who brings a korban is not doing it on behalf of you. He's bringing the korban because Hashem told him to do it. A Jew is not allowed, a regular Yisrael, a non-Kohen, is not allowed to actively bring a korban by himself. That's usur. And therefore, if you're not allowed to do something, you can't have a shliach do it for you. You're not allowed to do it. How can it be your shliach? It must be that the Kohen is working for Hashem, not you. The implication would be, for example, if you made a neder, you took an oath not to get any hana from a Kohen, the Kohen could still offer a korban for you, because he's not doing it for you, he's doing it for Hashem. Therefore, we are saying the Kohanim, and then we pause and we describe Am Kedoshacha, the holy nation. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, when you say it, you should say Kohanim, pause, Am Kedoshacha, not Kohanim Am Kedoshacha, not Kohanim who are serving Am Kedoshacha. We find this, the Magen Avraham says we find this in the Gemara in Yuma. When the Kohen Gadol does his vidui on Yom Kippur, he says, Ana Hashem avisi pashanti chatasti fanacha ani uvesi, I sinned me and my household, uvnei Aaron and the sons of Aaron, Am Kedoshacha, the holy people. Rav Amram Gon says that the psukim of Birchas Kohanim should really be recited until the pasuk of V'samu eshimi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem, which is the end of the whole section over there. This minhag is cited by many Rishonim, including the Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef, citing other Rishonim, explains that we're asking Hashem to fulfill His promise and bless us. However, the minhag Ashkenaz, based on Rashi in the Sefer HaManig, is not to do this, and this is the minhag amongst all Ashkenazim, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah says, and that's because we already said, Brachinu b'bracha mishulashas Hashem, bless us with Birchas Kohanim. There's no reason to add anything else at the end. Okay. Where now, if you've davened in shul before, so you've seen the chazan move around, or if you've been in shliach tzibur before in shul, you have seen the kohanim, the shliach tzibur move in different directions. What's going on over here? Where are we supposed to face? So often what happens is the guy who's davening is kind of like trying to figure out what to do, and he's looking around and he doesn't remember exactly what he's supposed to be facing. So let's review. The Mishnah Berurah cites the Zohar HaChadosh in Parshas Naso. And the Zohar says as follows, that when the Shliach Tzibur says, Yivarechecha Hashem, he should be facing the front of the shul. And then when he says, V'yishmerecha, he should turn to his right. And then he should say, Ya'er Hashem. And then when he says, Panav Elecha V'yichunaka, he should turn to his left. And that's it. Now, the Elia Rabbah suggests that facing certain directions during the last pasuk of Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, and the Siddur of Yaakov Emden says this is wrong. The Zohar was very clear. You only do for the first two lines of the bracha, turning to the right and then turning to the left. The last piece, you just look forward at the end of the day, and we shouldn't change what the Zohar says. And this is the opinion of the Ben Ish Chai and the Tzitz Eliezer as well. In the Siddur of the Tzelusa D'Avram and the Munkacha Rebbe in the Nemukei Or HaChaim, they are very clear that there should be no bowing when we do this part of Birchas Kohanim, because we do not add on extra bows to davening. Rather, the Shliach Tzibur simply faces to the right and faces to the left. No bowing should be done at all. Now let's turn to the response of the Tzibur. What do we say after the Chazan says those three statements? So the Avudraham cites the Tshuvas HaRif, who writes that we only need to answer Amen when the Kohanim are actually doing the Asiyas Kapayim. And this is cited by the Rambam in Hilchos Tefila. Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam explains that this is only a Zecher Ba'alma. Don't forget that Elokeinu Melekei Avoseinu is just a remembrance to remind us of what should be. And really, these psukim are simply part of Sim Shalom. The Amen will come at the end of Sim Shalom. That's where it's going to go. And the Levush explains that Amen is the expression of being mechazek and showing you believe in what the Kohanim are saying. But the Shliach Tzibur is reciting these psukim as a bakasha. It's different than Birchas Kohanim. And therefore, the Drisha and the Aruch HaShulchan say that it is usur to answer Amen to those psukim. And when the Kohen says Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha, it's usur to say Amen. The Mishmer Shalom and also the Chuas Vanagos or Strombach quotes that he heard B'Shem Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and he felt that there may be an issue of answering Amen, because the Kohen, who's the person who's davening, is not a Kohen. You can't answer Amen to the Birchas Kohanim of somebody who's not a Kohen. okay, maybe the Mishmar Shalom says, maybe if the Chazan is occurring, maybe you can answer Amen. In light of all of this, the Avudram says that there's a minhag to respond, and this is what we do in Shul, Ken Yehi Ratzon. Ken Yehi Ratzon is to say that we agree with it, but we're not going to say Amen. And this is cited by the Shulchan Aruch. The Ma'atem Moshe says the Maharil wouldn't say anything during these psukim, neither Amen or Ken Yehi Ratzon. The Tshuvas Vanagos says that this was the minhag of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik to not say anything as well. But the Levush and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav all say that the minhag is to recite Ken Yehi Ratzon in place of Amen, and this is the minhag in most places. Now, you'll note that I said the Shulchan Aruch HaRav of the first Rebbe of Chabad said that we should say Ken Yehi Ratzon. However, if you ever davened with somebody who is Chabad, you will notice they do not say Ken Yehi Ratzon. What they say is Amen. What's going on? The Rebbe said you have to say Ken Yehi Ratzon, not say Amen. So in the Shar HaKolel, which collects many of the Minhagei Chabad, so he says that the minhag of Chabad is to follow Rav Haigon and to say Amen after each piece of the bracha. The issue is that Rav Haigon only said to say Amen after all three, not each piece. Nevertheless, the minhag of Chabad is to say Amen after each piece. And in general, the source of this minhag of Chabad is very unclear. It's not clear why in Chabad they do this, especially since the first Rebbe of Chabad said not to do it. But at the end of the day, this is the minhag of Chabad. The Bach says the minhag of people to say Yehi Ratzon after the first two psukim and Ken Yehi Ratzon after the last pasuk. He says that's a wrong minhag, and therefore we just say Ken Yehi Ratzon after all three, and this is what most people do as well. There's a discussion between the Taz and the Bach about what the right thing to do is. At the end of the day, we say Ken Yehi Ratzon, and the Mishnah Berurah, even though he says to say Ken Yehi Ratzon really at the end, he says V'yesh onim Ken Yehi Ratzon achra kol bracha, and this is what we do in most shuls, say Ken Yehi Ratzon after all three brachos are recited. In fact, when we say Yal V'yavo, don't we say Amen after each piece of the bracha of Yal V'yavo? Therefore, we see that it's certainly appropriate to answer Ken Yehi Ratzon after each section of Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. If you've davened in certain shuls, perhaps in your shul, they might follow the following custom, and that is the custom brought by Rav Eliezer Papa Nechesed LaAvram, the Ben Ishchai Parshas Tetzava, the Kaf HaChaim, of reciting when you say Ken Yehi Ratzon after the first verse, Ken Yehi Ratzon Bizchus Avram, Ken Yehi Ratzon in the merit of Avram. After the second verse, Ken Yehi Ratzon Bizchus Yitzchak, in the merit of Yitzchak. And after the final verse, Ken Yehi Ratzon Bizchus Yaakov Bizchus Moshe Aaron Yosef V'David. Now, this minhag is based on a comment of the Avudraham. The Avudraham doesn't say to do this, but the Avudraham does say, and the Baal HaTorim writes this as well in Parshas Naso, this week's Parsha, that the three brachos are in the zechus, the merit of the avos. And therefore we say, Bizchus, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The minhag is cited as well by the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ma'aram Chagiz says, minhag na'ah shira eitzel b'nei Ashkenaz. So we see there was a common minhag in Ashkenaz to say, Ken Yehi Ratzon, and then a tribute to the avos at the end of the day. Let's just end with two other halachos, and that is, and this has happened in our shul a couple of times, where the Shliach Tzibur forgets and he skips Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. What are you supposed to do? So the Mishnah Berurah says that if the Shliach Tzibur doesn't say this, you don't make him go back, because this is not a takana, it's not from Chazal, it's from the Gaonim. And there were even some Rishonim who didn't even say this tefillah. So if the guy skips it, it's really okay. The Chafetz Chaim writes in the Bir Halacha that if the Shliach Tzibur catches himself before he says, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMavarech HaSamo Yisrael Ba'Shalom, then he should go back. We find the same halacha when it comes to Zochreinu L'Chaim, Michamocha, Verachamim, Ba'Yisaris Mei Tshuva. These are insertions from the period of the Gaonim, and therefore, if you don't remember them, it's okay, you don't have to go back. And if you do remember them, so you say them before you say Baruch Atah Hashem at the end of the bracha. Let's say you are late to shul. I know now we're all back in shul. Many of us are back in shul. We're never going to be late ever again, and we're going to be perfect, and everything's going to be fine. But for those of us who might be late to shul, and you need to catch up, so we know the common custom of reciting Chazar Sashatz with the Chazan, so you can have a chelek, a portion of the Devarim Shebekdusha, Kedusha, and things like that. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Simon Kuftes, he's unsure whether a person who's davening their personal Shemar Esrei along with the Sheyach Tzibor should recite this paragraph as well. Should you be quiet and wait for the Sheyach Tzibor and then continue into Sim Shalom, or should you say it with him? The Shevet HaLevi Rav Vazner writes in Chela Gimel, he leaves this as a Tzarachian. The Aruch HaShulchan wants to allow it. He says it's only, the Shevet HaLevi says it's only a tefillah for the Sheyach Tzibor, and therefore he leaves it that he's not sure what to do. So in this case, perhaps you certainly can rely on the Aruch HaShulchan and say it along, but perhaps it may be better just to stay quiet and pause and wait for the Chazan and then continue into Sim Shalom. So that's just one small paragraph in the Siddur that we have discussed and gone through. Hopefully, as some of us return to shul in different settings, backyards, in shul, outside of shul, whatever it may be, we should have a little bit more of appreciation for this little bit of the Siddur that perhaps we did not pay so much attention to in the past and understand what's going on, what we are saying, why we are saying, and how to appreciate this particular aspect of Birchas Kohanim or this foe or this imposter Birchas Kohanim a little bit more. Okay, we'll have a good evening and a good Shabbos to everyone.